Boom! Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Fabiano's Masterclass. In today's episode, we're going to be following a game from the European Team Championship that's being held in Batumi, Georgia. And this is a game, a very exciting game, I might add, between Luca Moroni, who is about 30 years of age, if I'm not mistaken, maybe a bit younger than that, and a very young prospect with the black pieces, Maurizi Marc-Andrea from France, a very strong player, about 26-20 at the moment. I think he's only 17 or 18 years of age. Extremely promising player coming from France. And this was a fun one. Fabiano, take it away. Episode 3 of Fabiano's Masterclass. How did you decide, first of all, to go for this game?
I was looking through the games of the European Team Championship. You know, I still do follow the Italian team, how they're doing. This was Italy versus France. France, without some of their strongest players, but still quite a reasonable team. And obviously, Maurizi is one of the young talents in the world. So they quickly went into a King's Indian.
So this is why you wanted to do it, because you're Indian aficionado nowadays.
No, actually, one of the reasons why, without spoiling the game, was that it looked like a model game and then something unexpected happened.
Okay,
perfect. So we'll have a look. So quickly went to the King's Indian, and Moroni played a modern line, h3, castle, bishop to e3. The point of h3 is that now there's no knight g4. I've played this line many times myself. With white, for example, against Alireza Ferrugia, Tata Steel 2020. And here, Maurizi played a rare move, c6. Now, rare, but not a bad move. The point is that very often you play e5 next with black, and then after d5, you could trade the pawns on d5. And that exchange maybe helps black in some versions, maybe lessens the space advantage that white has and the effects of that a little bit. White played very ambitiously. g4, which is typical. h3 prepares g4, you're just taking all the space in the world. Bishop g2, f4, you're trying to get everything going. And now Maurizi played something I think was preparation, very unusual, queen to a5.
Oh, I didn't see you there. You might be wondering, what am I doing here? Well, I'm getting my reps in. You know, one of the most common questions I get is, how do you actually learn a new opening? Honestly, the best way, hands down, is by using chessreps.com. They've got these super fun, interactive opening courses that actually work. This isn't one of those chess courses you watch once and forget. These are fully interactive courses. You're not passively listening. You're actively playing the moves, getting quizzed on variations, and building that crucial muscle memory. It feels more like a game than studying. Hundreds of thousands of players have already used chessreps.com to break through plateaus and hit their highest ever ELO. And here's the cool part. They actually want you to see how powerful this is for yourself. Right now, you can take their entire Vienna Gambit and Stafford Gambit courses completely free. You don't even have to sign up. Just head over to chessreps.com and start learning. Right now, they have 25 courses for you, and they release a new one every single week. Seriously, this is the best way to learn openings. Go try it out at chessreps.com. Really quick, isn't h3, g4 a bit weakening for the white king? Obviously, you already pushed the pawns on the other side, on the queen's side. Now you're pushing the pawns on the king's side. You know, from a visual perspective, it looks like you don't have anywhere to place the king, anywhere to hide with the king anymore. Is that
it? Is weakening. It is very weakening. One of the ideas that of why he played g4 was because usually black's idea is to play e5. And then after white plays d5, white has closed the center, so black can't really exploit the weakness of the king so much in the short term. And then g4 also stops black from playing knight h5 at some moment. So it's very hard for black to achieve this f5 break. And then white continues with queen d2. And very often long castle. Mm-hmm. Usually watching out to make sure e4 isn't too weak. Sometimes you play f3. Sometimes you play knight e2, knight g3. These are typical maneuvers for white. And of course, black is not necessarily doing badly here. But white has his trumps, space advantage, and long-term potential to attack on the king side with eventually f3, h4, and h5, and so on.
Perfect.
But Moriti prepared something where he avoids the closing of the center. To me, it looks very strange, but, you know, sometimes the modern theory has these odd ideas that you can eventually maybe justify with computer analysis. Queen to a5. Kerensen's knight takes c4. Logically, bishop to g2 is played to stop that threat. And now queen to b4. So I checked a bit with an engine because, okay, it's both in some ways logical. You're trying to win a pawn. You're attacking two pawns. On the other hand, normally you can't just go pawn hunting like this, especially when you're down in development. Black hasn't developed the queenside pieces, when you have no space. And normally you would expect that white can start, you know, maybe breaking the center with e5 after knight e2 and so on. And also the engine, as you see, the chess.com engine, also the engine I'm using on my side here, which is much stronger, doesn't really approve this. My engine shows like 0.5. Mm-hmm. That engine also shows about 0.5. It doesn't approve of this because it makes moves like, for example, knight g to e. And then
you can take both.
You take
pawns
on b2.
I can take c4.
Yeah, for some reason, you should take the one on b2. Taking on c4 is very bad. Maybe because the knight on c3 remains a target. Here, just like, it's not even concrete, just f4.
Uh huh.
Knight bd7 castle.
Basically,
just says
push. Yeah.
Yeah, white is just much better. Rook c1, f5, I don't know, something eventually, things don't work out for black.
Yeah.
So you take on b2. And then white plays, for example, f4, or white can castle first, or whatever. Black puts a queen on a3. For some reason, instead of knight bd7, black puts the other knight, knight fd7.
Mm-hmm.
Castle, queen a3, f5, c5, I don't know. It gets a bit nuts. Knight d5 comes, and you kind of expect things to go wrong for black, but somehow they don't. You know, knight c6, and
the,
rook
the
b1, knight b6.
It's probably Mark. Gandria saw in his preparation.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting approach because, of course, queen b4 is both highly risky. On the other hand, you know that your opponent will struggle to understand the position, and you can't prepare everything here because white has so many moves. White can, as you saw, can play knight e2, can play queen d2, can play all sorts of moves, and black has to be ready for many options, so you can't remember everything. On the other hand, you probably know it better than your opponent, so the disadvantage in the position white is pushing is balanced by the fact that you're kind of taking him head on into a position where he needs to make responsible decisions.
I love it. Deep dark voice.
So he played the move queen to b3, which is not the most critical, but it's also perhaps the most logical. You don't sack a pawn. Now a5 came, the point being that now trade on b4 is on black's terms. He played knight g to e2. Yeah, this is not good for white, of course, opening the A-file. But knight g to e2, and now Moriti showed that he either was very well prepared for the position, I assume, or he just had fantastic understanding of the position. He played knight f to d7.
I mean, he played it in about 5 seconds, so...
He probably knew, and queen b3 is very natural, so he probably knew what was going on here.
Yeah.
And after knight f to e7, here Moroni made a mistake, but to be honest, things have kind of already gone Moriti's way, because white should objectively play a move like queen to d1.
Oof,
which is completely absurd. Because you just came from there, so you basically just gave up two tempi.
Nobody plays that.
Yeah, you just came from there, now you're sacking a pawn and you're also losing two tempi. It's nuts. But here white is already in danger of getting worse, and he castled instead, and now after knight b6 he is worse, and he was actually very quickly losing, because in this position white has to play bishop to g5, which either will attack the seven pawn or induce some sort of concession. For example, it might induce f6, which then you move the bishop back and you sack c4 or to c1 to mm-hmm. make sure it doesn't get attacked. And then you sack c4 and f6 is just a weakness. Yeah, that's all. Or it induces queen rook to e8, which is very natural. But here white plays queen to c2. Again, it's not easy. And after knight takes c4, for example, I mean, okay, to be honest, this stuff is just impossible. White can play a4 and yeah, your engine also doesn't understand. And now we want to play b3, but not allow knight a3. And if queen b2, the queen gets in trouble there, which your engine still, now it starts to understand, right? So very difficult stuff. And by the way, after bishop g5, the best move is to actually give up e7 by playing knight c4. Bishop takes e7, rook e8, and black is a little bit better because also b2 is weak and so on.
Yeah. Wild stuff.
Yeah. So very difficult. Moroni played c5. I still think he kind of should have seen how bad c5 is. Dc. Objectively, he actually should have played d5, but it's already too difficult to to play like that.
Yeah.
And knight c4, and white's dead lost.
Just, dead lost you're, already.
Yeah. C5 is falling. I mean, I know your engine shows like minus one. My engine shows closer to minus two.
Wow.
E3 is under attack. B2 is under attack. C5 is under attack. You're losing material. It's just that simple. He played bishop g5, which is also a questionable move. Queen c5. Bishop takes e7. He just thought, okay, at least I win the pawn back. It's understandable, but it's also completely game over. Queen e7, queen c4, b5. Now, I say completely game over. A lot happens in this game, by the way. So let's continue. So the reason, first of all, the reason why it's so losing, because to everyone watching, they think, well, it's equal material. How bad can it be? But the truth is that the bishop on g7 is so strong. It's kind of the model King's Indian bishop, and it's also supported by black having extra tempi on the queen side, playing, for example, queen d3, bishop a6 comes, b4. Black does everything with tempo, so white doesn't get a moment to breathe. That's why he played queen to b3, but again, tempo a, queen c2, a3, undermining the b2 pawn. He took, otherwise b4 is coming, rook a3. Now, b4 is threatened, he played rook a to b1. If, for example, rook a to d1, queen c5 comes. It's just completely, every single move comes with threat, is both positionally and tactically losing.
Oh, this is...
So rook a to b1. His point was that at least queen c5, he can play rook fc1 now. His rooks are a bit better. Bishop e6 here, still completely losing. But what Maurizi did instead, also great. He played move 20, bishop to e6. Threatening b4, followed by taking on a2. Moroni now started to play in the way that he had to. I mean, he's dead lost, but he started to play at least for activity. Rook fd1.
Ooh.
Oops.
Sorry. Rook fd1.
Rook fd1. B4. Knight to d5, sacking a piece. Not really sacking. He was losing the piece. I mean, he had to sack it. Cd, ed. White has one pawn for the piece, which is obviously not enough. So far, Maurizi has been playing an absolutely model game, and it continues to do so for a few more moves. Bishop to d7 threatens bishop to a4.
Something is telling me that this is not the end of the story.
I told you that.
This game.
No, it's not at all. D6. So, okay, what's white's main and only trump? It's the passed d pawn.
This guy.
Black is up a piece. If you ever get rid of that d pawn, you resign with white. It's that simple. Now, normally, it's not too difficult to get rid of that pawn because it's blockaded.
You corral it. You
yeah.
Get the rook, maybe to e6, get the bishop on e5, and get the other to e6.
Exactly.
It looks like it's falling, right?
It does feel like eventually that pawn, which is unsupported by anything besides the rook on d1, will fall. And also, black has no king issues. The king is very safe. The pawn in a2 is a weakness. The dark squares are kind of black's overall in the position.
Yep.
Unopposed dark square bishop also happens to be an extra piece. So the game should be over soon. Also, Maurizi, as you see on the clock, has 45 minutes.
Against 21.
Which he probably started to relax a bit. Never a good thing to do. So he played queen to e8. I think maybe queen to e5 was a bit better. Because then after rook takes b4, you have queen to a5, and a2 is falling. But what he did is perfectly fine. I'm not going to criticize this move. Queen to e8, his point was that rook before this bishop a4. Very logical. Wins the rook on d1.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why Moroni played rook to e1, at least setting up something to do with knight d4, knight f4, and who knows what, but at least trying to create threats, you know? There's nothing else you can do in this position. Now, I think here there were a number of ways to win on the spot. The easiest one to me is queen to e6. Queen to e6 threatens d6, as we already said. That pawn falls. There's nothing to do. It also attacks a2. And if white plays, for example, queen to d1, which is the only square in which white avoids rook takes a2 at least. Here, rook a6, as you mentioned, is super clean.
Yeah.
The pawn falls. And if not queen d1, it's queen d2, there's rook takes a2. Like, if it's a queen d1, you play queen d2, rook takes a2.
D1,
d2. And rook takes a2 here. So queen e6 is just, it fulfills all the criteria. I think basically queen e6, about two more moves are played if you make this move.
That's
in the game. Like,
game over.
Yeah. Instead, Maurizi played knight to a6, which is not a bad move. But in a winning position, a lot of it comes down to, like for me, it's always, I want to win this immediately. Like I know I'm winning, I just want to win it on the spot. So I take my time to find the way in which I win on the spot. Not moves which are probably winning, but I want my opponent to resign. I don't want him to still have moves that he can make.
I think that's a very good point and a teachable moment because at this point, Maurizi basically spent a minute and 30 seconds and there's just simply not enough to assess all the options. Like queen e6 finishes the game, knight a6, you allow your opponent to make some more moves, which is not the goal of the position.
Yeah, like it's not a bad moment to spend 10 minutes because, you know, in this position, even if you have 10 minutes left on the clock, you probably win it one way or another. But if you rush, you never know, you could blunder something, you could make it more difficult on yourself. If you spend 10 minutes at this moment, when you have so many different options, and for sure, you have many good options, you're probably going to find a really, really nice solution. And queen to e6 is a really nice one. It basically forces resignation. Anyway, knight to a6 allows knight to f4, a little bit of freedom. Queen to b8, attacking d6. So obviously he wasn't concerned about this. And now queen to d1. So still the d6 pawn stays alive. It's the only thing white can be hoping for. And white does have at least a bit of activity connected to rook e7. And maybe connected to either knight d5 or bishop d5, depending on what happens later. Now things, I was like minorly critical before, things actually start to go pretty wrong here. His next move, rook to e8, I'm actually going to be like rather critical of, because if he had played knight to c5 here, if rook to e7, now there's rook to a6, again, same idea. Maybe he wasn't thinking along those lines, but it eliminates the d6 pawn. So after knight c5, white should try to keep the pawn on the board. How do you do that? Maybe you play queen to d5. But now I simply play knight to e6, and I stop both any rook e7 ideas, and I also trade material, which is always a good thing. I won't say always, but almost always a good thing when you're up a piece. And in this case, I think resignation is pretty imminent. But after rook to e8, rook to e7 comes, and you start to see things that could be, like, d7's hanging. If you take on e7, that's a pretty dangerous pass pawn. So you start to see where things could go wrong.
The bar already, I mean, it's moving up, right? Especially if you take on e7.
Yeah, if you take. So after rook to e7, still, like, a strong engine shows knight c5 is, like, -4 here. But okay, it's already, you know, f7 is a bit weak. You can be scared. Knight c5, queen d5, you know, you get a little bit scared. I mean, you can...
White is getting some practical chances in this.
Yeah, I would start to feel like maybe, like, a 1% of hope after rook to e7.
Right.
You know, maybe a bit more than 1%. But definitely, I don't lose this 100 out of 100 times anymore.
That's more than I had a move ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's all you can hope for. You just hope for, like, something to still play on for.
Yeah.
Now he played queen to d8, a very logical move, but now queen to e2 happens, so you're not getting rid of that rook anytime soon. And also, the a6 knight is hanging, and white is threatening rook to e1, putting more pressure on e8, and is also threatening bishop to c5. So there are active ideas in this position. And the position is already practically challenging. It's winning for black. For example, you can play this move knight to c7, which is what my engine likes very much.
Yes.
But you can understand how this move might be a little bit scary to play.
He probably didn't see it. Like, you might just simply not see it.
Yeah, you might not even consider it. Also, it does hang b4, so you'd rather keep your pawns and not have to deal with moves where your pieces are hanging. He played rook to a5, which is a good move, and also threatens rook to e5, so it is very logical. And now, by the way, I see your engine starts to say, like, bishop d5 is good, but it's still winning for black. Right. I mean, a stronger engine still gives, like, more...
It changes.
Yeah, yeah. It does slowly go up for black. He played rook to d1, which is a good move. And here, I think, is where things started to go really wrong for black. The best way is bishop to f8, and it's a very natural move. I think, like, what would scare you here? If rook takes e8, bishop takes e8, not queen takes e8, because then you actually win the piece with the passed d-pawn.
Right.
And then white can play knight to d5.
Right.
So you take with the bishop, knight to d5.
I see ideas of, if you take on d6, I take on e8, queen takes e8, knight f6, and I get something.
We're
starting to look at some calculation.
Maybe some draws happen at that point.
Yeah.
Here, bishop to a4 is really strong, but okay, there are some checks. There is knight e7, you know.
D7 as an idea, potentially.
Yeah, d7, kind of a surprising move, but I think bishop takes d7.
D1, I have queen e8, and I'm winning.
Yeah. Surprisingly, all of black's material doesn't help, but this was winning, bishop to f8.
Right.
And after bishop f8, if knight to d5, just one other variation to calculate, there's rook takes d5. Very important. But bishop d5 here, bishop e7, d7, and here queen c8, because the knight on a6 is hanging. You have to play that move. And okay, it's you get a little bit nervous. Maybe
this
a little
not,
bit.
Not easy anymore.
If you hold your nerve, you still win this, but you can get a bit nervous.
Yes.
So Morici played knight to b8. I think he was still kind of rushing. Like, I mean, I don't know.
His last 23 minutes spent about 7 minutes on this one, 6 minutes.
He was getting nervous, I think. Now, bishop d5 happened, and it is objectively difficult to win this position because f7 is just hanging. Yeah. Now, the point of his last move, knight b8, was connected to his next move. The correct move, his next move was actually a mistake. The correct move was to play king to h8. Bishop takes f7 is the most logical move for white, and here rook to e5. So now that rook comes across because the bishop no longer controls that square, and here black is winning. But you did sacrifice f7. It's not trivial anymore.
Yeah.
And instead of bishop f7, white maybe had some other kind of tricky move like queen to e4, which is also losing after rook to f8. But this is not, it's not trivial by any means. You know,
seems
even
like
your...
Suddenly you need to be extremely precise. Like, why didn't you play, for example, rook to f8 in this position instead of king to h8?
Yeah, I guess it's not a bad move either.
These are things that you need to sort of assess in a very short amount of time under a lot of pressure. This is a team event. Again, this is added pressure. And especially when the trend is not your friend. Like, you realize you've allowed your opponent to get way too much compensation after you probably were expecting your opponent to resign like 5 moves ago.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, great saying, the trend is not your friend. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's difficult. And it was so easy a few moves ago. It was absolutely zero hope for white, or about as close to zero as you can hope for. And now there is significant hope. I would expect that, you know, out of 10 games, I'm saving at least 3 of them from this position after bishop d5.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe even more, you know, and there is even a scenario where I win because I have threats. It's no longer, maybe it's like 2% I win, but it's something. And that actually gets in your head a little bit because having safety is very nice psychologically. Morici decided to play in a forcing manner. He took on e7. It's actually the mistake which turns a win into a draw. Now, that's why he played knight to b8, because if he had done it on the previous move, then there would have been rook takes d7. You can go back for a sec there. Just to show, it's a very simple variation, very easy to calculate. You lose queen e8, rook d7. So that's why he played knight to b8.
Yep.
Yeah,
that here, makes perfect sense. You try to defend that d7 bishop.
So in some way, it is logical, because after rook takes e7 and queen to e8, he did get rid of white's rook. And it looks like the pawn is blockaded. And if given another move to play bishop to f6, that's just, I mean, black is up a piece for one pawn, so black is objectively winning. Now, I mentioned the move bishop f6, that's why you see the second line on the engine is g5, just to stop that. And ironically, even this move, which is not the best, is still really tough for black to win this position because the pawn d7 just sits there. And the bishop on d5 just sits there. And the rook on d1 does, in many variations, threaten to come to d8. You don't have freedom with black's pieces. You had all the freedom in the world, but now you can't move your queen. Your dark square bishop, it has nowhere useful to go. I mean, c3, but it's not that different.
You're stuck.
You don't move. Yeah, you're stuck. That's why the engine shows knight to a6, because it's the only piece you can actually improve.
Yep.
But your knight just came from there, so obviously things have gone at least a little bit wrong.
Yep.
Instead, Moroni made an excellent move, the best move, bishop takes f7. The point is queen f7, rook d7, very easy to calculate. The pawn e7 does promote, and that's immediate game over. And that's why Morici took with the king. Which I do wonder what he was thinking at this moment, because king f7, like, obviously he had to have seen bishop f7 as a possibility. And his king goes to f6. Queen c4, he can't take on e7 because rook e1. No, not rook e1. Queen takes
b4.
It's a rook. Rook e1 would actually interpose with rook e5. So queen b4 wins the rook. So he can't do this. So he has to put his king on f6, which, although you're two pieces
you
up...
You did win another piece in the process.
Although you're two pieces up, and maybe you don't feel like you're losing, it's scary to put your king on f6. And
right.
One blunder and you could also lose this game. You know, like rook to d6 here, king e7, queen b4. It could be winning for white. It could be.
Right.
It turns out that it's odd and black's
winning.
There's
a discovery check coming pretty much by force.
Bishop c3, rook e6, king f7. I mean, okay, not the easiest stuff to be sure about.
Yeah.
It's actually quite ironic because after the opening, which was a disaster for Moroni, he basically played the engine's first line for about 10 moves or more straight. He was fighting back very well. And as soon as his position was objectively okay, after king to f6, he's objectively okay. And I'll show you two ways to do it. The first one is simply knight d5. Black has to take, because obviously you can't go up with your king. I mean,
you don't get mated if you go to g5. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you can't go. F4. I mean, obviously you're not going to do this, right?
Yes.
Queen g3, f4, and so on.
Yes.
h4, f4, whatever.
Yes.
So you take on d5. Still a winning material advantage. But after queen d5, I threaten queen to d6, so bishop to e6, very logical. I also, by the way, I threatened maiden one with g5. So bishop e6, queen d6. Yeah, like queen e7, g5, that's not what you want to see at the end of the game. But queen d6, and now the problem for you is that if you take on e7, I take on b8. Or first in this case, queen to f4. Queen f4, bishop f5, and now gm, or yeah. Actually, we win two pieces in this case.
Yep.
And so after queen to d6, you play knight to d7 to make sure that knight stays alive. And now rook to e1. And if queen
to
e7.
White is actually slightly better.
If queen to e7, then queen to f4. Again, losing material.
Yes.
So after queen to d6, white is winning back the knight. Because, for example, if we play king to f7, just to get rid of any checks, rook to e1, queen takes e7. I guess, I mean, probably queen b8 is fine. You can maybe give a check as well. Bishop f6, queen b8. And this position is objectively a draw. Because although black has still material advantage, there's very limited material left. You know, it's looks unpleasant, but a stronger engine will actually show it's just dead zeros.
Somewhat tied up, right? Like you can't really go king g7 because you're still under this.
Queen b6, and you have to go back.
Yeah.
So you play like queen d7, but then you lose b4. And then
it's over.
Yeah, you don't really win it unless you, because the trade of queens will be a draw in that case. So knight to d5 was a draw. Even besides that, white had also, after king f6, rook to e1. Threatening rook to e7.
Nicely.
I think. Right. Actually, maybe not threatening, because you can take in king g4.
Maybe even queen d4 now. And you don't have rook e5 anymore.
I mean, we always have the idea of knight d5. Yeah. But if g5, then I think rook to e6 becomes important.
Yes.
Maybe among other things. But okay.
That's a nice.
So after rook to e1, it's very similar variations. For example, knight to c6, knight to d5. Take, you have to take again. Take, and again, we're threatening queen takes d7.
That's
so let's say, yeah, this is the same mate. And so if g5, then we're threatening queen takes d7.
Yep.
Queen d7, e8, we want a piece back, take. Black, of course, never risks in this endgame, but also does not have any realistic winning chances. King f7, and, you know, probably a million ways to draw this position.
You're finally back in the game.
Yeah.
You're
totally back in the game after king f6.
Back in the game after king f6.
It is an objective drawn position. And now he played a move I cannot explain, unfortunately. But something just went wrong with his calculations. He played queen to d4. Maybe he was thinking king f7, queen c4, draw.
Yes, I think that's what he was thinking.
But the thing is, I mean, he still had plenty of time. And rook to e5, I mean, you are two pieces down. So any move which kind of solves the issue of the check, of which black has two, king f7 or rook e5, should be taken very seriously. And here, unfortunately, the problem is that the king escapes to f7. That's why the queen on c4 was so good. Knight d5, king f7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you run out of checks. Queen f4, king g8, and just two pieces down. And besides knight d5, you could play queen d6, but then king f7 again. And you can play, I don't know, rook to e1, for example, trying to exploit the pin, but then knight to c7, probably among other things.
Is a great piece.
Yeah, you needed to stop the king from getting to f7 because that was the safe haven. So queen to d4, considering that he had plenty of time on the clock, at least according to the chess.com timer, difficult to explain. He continued here with queen
knight d3.
No, sorry, with knight to d3. I don't know if he was counting on this, but knight c6 is not a difficult move. It attacks the queen. Queen d6, again, like at this point, you can also play king f7.
Right. You have enough material.
95-95. Yeah, it's winning because you actually hold on to your pieces.
Yeah.
But rook to e6 is even better. White has only one check, which he gave. King to e7. Last desperate attempt, knight c5. Obviously, without you need checks. You don't need to attack the bishop. Knight to d4 came. Best move. Not the only winning move, but the best one. Queen to c7. Obviously, at this point, you don't even threaten anything. So, well, I guess you threaten the rook on e6, but it's pretty easy to deal with that. Bishop to e5 is one way, rook to c6 as he played is another. Allows a check on e1, but king to f7, white's queen is also hanging. Queen to f4, last move, and rook to f6. By the way, the ironic thing is black could have even played bishop to f6. and the engine evaluates it as just as good as Rook F6.
Really?
Rook E8, Bishop E8, because you threaten knight E2, white has to abandon the last, so King G2, whatever, Rook C5, three pieces plus a rook.
Completely.
Even if you got rid of the knight, two pieces plus a rook is usually winning, but three pieces plus a rook, yeah, that's really winning. Oh, it was an interesting game, both from the opening, I thought was very interesting, and also from the point of view of, like, psychologically, why did Black allow so many chances? How did he lose control? And also, the interesting thing was, did Moroni think that he was okay at some point? Did he realize he was okay? Did he just think he was losing, that's why he didn't find the draw? Did he just miscalculate something? Like, what happened there as well? There are a lot of factors in this game. It was quite a rich game. Unfortunately, ended a little bit prematurely. Like, it would have been interesting to see if there would have been, if he had found Rook to E1 or Knight D5, if there would have been more fight, but the final blunder, Queen to D4, did end things prematurely. I did really like Maurice's opening play. I thought that was cool, but the technical phase was very, very shaky.
Yeah, no, I think it was a great choice. Obviously, also from the angle and the perspective that you have right now with the King's Indian, you've been analyzing a lot of King's Indian. You obviously enjoy this type of ideas, given that it's such a rich opening and you can be creative with it, which Maurizi was with Queen A5, Queen B4. I like it as well because I've seen this idea in some Grunfeld lines, actually, which I did see the game live and it piqued my interest just because of this idea of Queen A5, Queen B4 also. But it was great to sort of understand why this was so interesting.
Yeah, to me it's a new idea. To me it's a new idea, but it shows that you can approach opening in general in many different ways and maybe not the most objectively sound, but definitely playable. At least, yeah.
It looked very sound from a practical perspective. Like,
at least practically, these things are very playable. And, chess remains a rich game in many ways.
And also, I think it's a great example of you can never relax because even these most tame positions, which look like you're probably going to finish in a matter of moves, they have some venom left. And, as long as your opponent still has one trump in the position, in that case, the pawn on d6, he still had something left, some juice in the position. So he had to be careful he wasn't, and he could have paid with the price of a draw, maybe even a loss in some cases. And in fact, France did defeat Italy 2.5 to 1.5. So not winning this one for Maurizi would have been a team disaster as well. So
It's a close match.
Fun one.
Yeah, it was... Well, it's an interesting tournament, and it was an interesting game to follow as well.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Fabi, for another masterclass, and we'll see you in episode 4. Guys, if you did enjoy this one, and I'm sure you did, if you learned some tips and tricks, and I'm sure you did as well, don't forget, like, subscribe, and share this video with your friends as well. Friends that want to pick up chess, friends that want to learn more about the King's Indian. I think this is a great example of why King's Indian is such a creative and such a fun opening to play with the black pieces. So, until next time. Cheers.